Our first reading for this afternoon is from the 52nd Psalm. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the third chapter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our third reading is from the 26th chapter of Matthew. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At least two came forward and said, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The human tongue can be guilty of some of the worst sins imaginable. Some of the most horrible things happen in life just by lying. For example, in World War II, Adolf Hitler lied about the Jewish people. He said they increased crime in Germany. Hitler said the Jewish people carried diseases. With his mouth, he lied and said they weren't even fully human. They were less. They were a disease that was polluting the pure blood of their country. With his tongue, Adolf Hitler led to the slaughter of millions of Jews, and not just men and women. The disabled, the elderly, and especially the young and the babies were the first ones to be killed. That's what the tongue can do. But you don't have to be a world leader to misuse the tongue. And you don't have to kill with your tongue to commit horrible sins. Today, the Apostle James spoke about the tongue as a rudder that's on a ship. And like on a ship, it can steer the whole body to commit horrible sins. James said this, "Look at the ship. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." The human tongue is one of the smallest muscles in our body. But look what we can do with it. In school, mere children can use their tongue to say the most vile things about one another. They can use the tongue to tell horrible lies about their classmates, trying anything they can to destroy someone's reputation. With the tongue, mere children can speak horrible things against each other, and it could get worse and worse until it's just violent words they're saying to each other. And not just violent words, but pretty soon other muscles get involved and fists start flying in a fight. Fights never start with muscles in the arm. Fights get started with a tiny muscle in the mouth. And adults are no different. But adults can be more sly in how they use their tongue. Adults can be more crafty in how they speak, more reserved. So if they really want to come out swinging, they might make their words sound oddly like a compliment. But then not really a compliment. It's a subtle dig, or maybe a not so subtle dig. Husbands and wives can use their tongues to hurt the ones closest to them in ways they only know how to speak to each other. You know, push the right buttons. That's what our tongues can do. And this tongue can do its most wicked evil, not with any other human, but our tongues can hurt God. Think about it. As Christians, we have one God, one Lord, Jesus Christ, whom we give sole credit for saving us, right? Of course we do. We Lutherans say we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we say with our tongues. So if that is true, if we say we are and believe that we are saved by the work of Jesus Christ, then why do we Christians sometimes boast so much using our tongues? Why is it instead of singing the praises of Christ for his salvation, will we instead use our tongue to sing our own praises, to talk about the good we've done? If we believe we are saved by the work of Christ and the work of Christ alone, then why are we so quick to speak about our works, what we have done, what we have accomplished, instead of focusing on what Christ has accomplished and the works Christ has done? If we boast about ourselves too much, maybe we don't think we need to boast in the work of Christ. That's concerning. The Apostle James was concerned about the tongue. This is why James wrote today, "No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing." My brothers, These things ought not to be so. Jesus Christ had a lot to say with his tongue. And he put his tongue to good use. During his years of ministry, he said a lot. During his 3 years of ministry, he taught. And with his tongue, he steered people. Steered them to have faith in him. With his tongue, he steered people to believe he really was the Christ. With his tongue, Jesus steered people to believe he came to save them. But one of the greatest times Jesus used his tongue, the greatest time he steered all of us toward salvation, the greatest teaching he ever spoke, was when Jesus kept his tongue in check. This may not seem to make sense, but the greatest thing Jesus ever did with his tongue is when he didn't use it. When Jesus was arrested and brought before Pontius Pilate, Jesus could have defended himself. Jesus could have argued that he never really spoke about destroying the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus could have defended himself by explaining he was talking about his own body, not the building, the temple. Instead, Jesus did not use his tongue. He kept quiet. This is what the Gospel of Matthew recorded. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But Jesus gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Jesus kept quiet. He wasn't there to defend himself with his tongue. Jesus was there before Pilate to get to the cross. And in doing so, Jesus fulfilled the words of the prophet Isaiah, who prophesied this day and said this: "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Isaiah 53. Jesus understands the power the tongue has over this world. That's why Jesus allowed himself to be quiet before Pilate, to go to the cross, and then to rise from the dead 3 days later. Jesus did that because he wanted to continue to guide you in this world by speaking to you. And Jesus is speaking to you. His tongue, his voice is leading you every day in his word. And Jesus leads you to believe when he says to you every week in the absolution, "I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." You hear his voice. You hear him very strongly. That's one of the times he's speaking to you. Jesus uses his tongue now to speak to you every time we gather around the Lord's Supper. And he says to you, "Take and eat, this is my body given into death for you. Take and drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins." Jesus is talking all the time now. And he's using his tongue in just the right way that we need. Jesus understands better than any of us the power the tongue can have in our lives. And Jesus will continue to steer you toward him and toward the salvation he has won for you for the rest of your life. Every time you hear him speak to you, he's steering you and guiding you back to him. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.